Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13. Welcome to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem. It's Friday, February the 11th, and today Paul concludes his series on the Sermon on the Mount. We invite you to open God's Word with us. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Paul.
Before I read the passage and we conclude our study on the Sermon on the Mount, I do want to mention that today is a bit of an unusual Friday program because I'll just be teaching directly from the text, finishing up the series that we've been working on. But what we'd like to do on Fridays in the future is to answer your questions. If you go to our website at soundwordsradio.com, you'll see that there's an email address and there's also a voicemail number that you can use to call or email and leave us your questions that you'd like answered on the program. We'll gather up those questions during the week, and Friday programs will be spent answering the questions that have been asked directly by our listeners, those things that you want to hear. It can be asking for clarification or further teaching from the passage that we covered that week, or it can be dealing with any theological issue that's of concern to you. But go to soundwordsradio.com and submit those questions. We'll look forward to answering them. Today's passage is Matthew 7. We do wrap up the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to be in verse 7 and beginning with verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. As Jesus wraps up the Sermon on the Mount, he gives a series of eschatological or end times warnings. And as I said in the introductory program, he uses three illustrations to lay out these two options, these two alternatives for the end times. The first is in verses 13 through 14, and it's the choice between the narrow gate or the wide gate. This is a teaching that challenges us a bit because we don't like to think of the idea that few are those who find the way to life and many are those who find the way to destruction. And yet we know this is the case from Scripture's direct teaching and, honestly, from our observations in this life. The world does lack holiness. The world likes to do what's easiest. They like to make a god for themselves, their own pleasure or their own success or popularity. The world does not like to serve Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. The world does not like to believe that God means what he says in Scripture and that Scripture is trustworthy. The world would rather do what's easy. We've talked about the order of law and gospel, or the order of indicative and imperative, and that order is critical here, that God gives us faith, God declares us to be holy, and then we live as his righteous children. We live as those who respond to that great gift with gratitude and with love that it looks like holiness and service and obedience to his law. But those things are not easy. Even after we've been regenerated by God, even after we've been given the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and with us each day, it's hard work to follow the law of God. This is part of what Jesus is telling us in this sermon, is the idea that if you think you can be saved by perfectly keeping the law of God, you don't understand yourself, and you don't understand the law. That standard of perfection is what's required for salvation. And that's why, first, we have to receive the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, rather than trying to produce some kind of righteousness on our own. But having been given that righteousness, having been declared children of God already, we then live in response to God. And this is what it means for finding the narrow gate, doing what's harder rather than what's easier, living with these moral requirements on us in an effort to please God, in an effort to serve Him as beloved children, rather than going our own way and doing our own thing and following our own desires. Jesus gives a warning here too in verse 15. He says, "Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Usually in your Bible, this verse is separated from the verses before it by a paragraph header, but I think that's a mistake. I think as well as relating to the teaching in the next verses, it's also related to the teaching in the previous verses. Jesus has just told us to enter by the narrow gate and to beware of the wide gate and the easy way. Most often when I hear false teaching, whether it's on the radio or television or read in a book, the teaching is false because it's trying to make Christianity easier for us than it ought to be. They're trying to relax the law's demands. They're trying to relax the holiness of God in an effort to make Christianity more appealing. Well, while that might make it more appealing, it's not very honest about how Christianity actually is. We need to beware of those who would come to us in sheep's clothing, who would appear to be bringers of peace and of an easier way, of something that doesn't take much work or effort or sacrifice from us. Beware of them, because while they might look like bringers of peace and sheep, inwardly they're wolves, because their teaching and their path leads to destruction. Jesus' second example is of a healthy tree and a diseased tree. He says that you can recognize them by their fruit, talking about those sheep and the wolves. You can't gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Healthy trees give healthy fruit. Diseased trees give bad fruit. So what you've got to do is to look at the fruit, and you've got to see if it's healthy, then you can trust the tree from which it's come. If it's sickly and damaged and diseased, if it's contrary to God's will and God's law, then you know not to trust that tree. There's also a warning in this. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What a tremendous warning this is about the importance of fruit bearing. Remember the story in the Gospels from when Jesus saw a fig tree? And finding no figs on it, he cursed the tree and it died? This passage is a corollary to that. It helps us to understand it. You see, that fig tree was producing a certain kind of bloom that would have indicated that it should have some fruit on it. It was giving outward appearances to the world that it should be bearing fruit. And yet when Jesus went up to it, there was no fruit. And so he cursed that tree, not simply for not producing fruit, but for its false profession, for claiming that it was producing fruit. Think about this in terms of the Christian life and your own life. When we say that we're Christians, when we say that we're followers of Christ who've been redeemed by our Savior and now live to spread His light in the world, we're making a bold claim about the kind of fruit we're going to produce. If Jesus comes to us in the last day and finds that we're not producing the fruit that we said we should be producing, well, that's when we get to the next passage. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is warning us to beware of the external trappings of religion. Now, we need to be careful with this language because being anti-religion seems to be quite popular today, as if Christianity is something other than a religion. I hear people say that Jesus wasn't religious. I'm not sure what that even means. Not only was he a religious Jew, but he was the founder of the religion of Christianity in its New Testament sense. So to say Jesus isn't religious is rather silly. But what Jesus is warning us against here is a religion that's only external. Beware of these things. Many will come to him who will say that they prophesied, or they cast out demons, or they did mighty works. Many will come and say to have participated in the ministry of God. They, like that fig tree, will be sending off the signals that they are fruit-bearing. And yet when Jesus comes to them, he'll say that they're lacking the most important fruit of all. They never knew Christ. Any fruit-bearing that they did was not good fruit. It was not the fruit that comes from a relationship with Christ, but merely the fruit that comes as being part of an external religion. Jesus' third illustration begins in verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And he sets up the two possibilities for building a house here. You can build a house on rock, and you can build a house on sand. In many places in Scripture, we know that Jesus is the rock. God is our rock and our fortress. He's our shelter in times of trouble. And so the rock here represents Jesus' teaching, the sound words that we're to follow and build our lives upon. If we shape our lives on those sound words, then we can endure the storms of life when they come. And so the floods will come, the winds will blow and beat on the house, but it will not fall because it's built securely on the rock. But if we build our house on the sand, that easy teaching, that wide gate, that false fruit, well, then our house can't survive the storms of life at all. You know, pastorally, it's a sad thing to see when this happens, and I've seen it many times. People get into the Christian church, and they don't dig deep into doctrine. They don't dig deep into the Word of God to find out what He's taught. They maintain a very superficial and very emotional level of Christianity. And so when absolute hardship or tragedy strikes their life, they don't know what to do. They've built their house on sand, and when the storm comes, the entire thing falls in on itself, and they're left feeling as if they have nothing. Jesus is telling us here to beware that storms will come. It's a promise that he makes many times in his gospel, and his apostles echo this message throughout the New Testament. The Christian life is not going to be easy. We're asked to be holy in a world that hates holiness. We're asked to serve the one true God in a world that chases after idols and manufactures them by the minute. And we're asked to call the truth truth and sin sin in a world that loves relativism, in a world that hates judgments. Beyond that, we live in a sinful world. The effects of sin on this universe bring disease and sickness and death. They bring broken relationships, strained friendships. This is the world into which Christ has called us to live. And if we don't build our teaching on the rock, we'll never survive these storms. This concludes our study on the Sermon on the Mount, and I hope it's been useful to you. Remember to go to our website, soundwordsradio.com, where you can download programs, subscribe to our podcast, read the show notes, and submit your questions by voicemail or email that we can discuss on future Friday programs. The Lord gives us a lot of great teaching in this sermon, and though it seems complicated at first and overwhelming perhaps, I hope that as we've dug down into this, you've found some sound words from the Lord Jesus to apply in your own life.
You've been listening to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem. Sound Words is a ministry of Covenant of Grace, and these daily broadcasts are made possible by the prayers and financial support of our listeners. Visit us online at soundwordsradio.com. There you'll find information about supporting this radio ministry with your tax-deductible financial gifts. And in exchange for your gift of any amount this month, we'd like to send you a pair of books from the Basics of the Reformed Faith series. Our web address again is soundwordsradio.com. And we would love to have you worship with us this week at Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church. We're located at 508 Harvey Street, one block off Stratford Road in Winston-Salem. Our Sunday morning service begins at 10:30. Hope you'll join us again Monday as Paul begins a new study from the book of Jonah. Until then, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.